for the Lord is in this place. No place I'd rather be than in His presence. Lots of good things can happen in the presence of the Lord. And you never know. Just never know. Thank you, Sister Marsh. I have enjoyed myself immensely. Sister Ply and Sister Marsh have taken me around and they have fed me. And they have fed me. And they have fed me. And I have enjoyed very much, very much. You may be seated. God bless you. I have enjoyed too. I enjoyed Sister Smith's pea salad. It was fabulous. And I have enjoyed, can't remember your husband's name. Brother James, cheesecake. Yes, that was wonderful. Thank you so much for thinking of Pastor, and they shared with us. And I'm thankful for the manna from the Lord. Nothing like good food from heaven, huh? And I am so grateful that He feeds His children day by day. We get three good meals or more, snacks in between, everything healthy. Let's just turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 and 3. We've had lots of good laughs this week. Lots of fun times, and I am grateful that for that. With you ladies, the fellowship was wonderful. I enjoyed going to the fish market, to the pickle section, whatever that, all that stuff, good stuff was. I know I like Daigo, so I probably would like a lot of that stuff. All right, verse 2 and 3. It says, "And Jesus called a little child unto Him, and He set him in the midst of them," He's talking about with His disciples, "and said, Verily I say unto you," this is Matthew 18, 2 and 3, "except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity to break bread together. We thank you for your word, for it is life to our bones. God, it is our help and our strength. And I pray that you would strengthen each one of us as women of God and as the children that are here. God, help us to be strong in you and in the power of your might, that we might show forth your praise and your glory to this world. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, what is it about children? We like kids. But kids are unique. They're not like adults. Can I hear amen from the kids? Okay, Jay, yes. He knows what I'm talking about. He's been around some adults, and he's been very patient this week. And he's listened, and he's probably learned quite a few entertaining things. But he's a kid. He's a child. And child are different than adults. You know what? Children have great faith. They have great faith. I've had my daughter, when she was a little girl, pray for me, and I've been healed. You know, they have a really strong faith. They're also very dependent. They need someone to help them out. They're very trusting, which is another form of faith. They're very trusting. They have love, unconditional love. You know? They will love you. Oh, nothing like a kid loving you. You know? They're also very forgiving. You know? Then their little buddies can have little tussles. And then all of a sudden, you know, all is forgiven and everything is all right. And they always like McDonald's. Do I hear amen from the rest of the kids? Oh, and they like to wiggle. Sometimes I feel like a kid. If I have to sit too long, I just need to wiggle. And another thing, they have very good imagination. Very good imagination. Actually, you know what? We all have good imaginations. We do. You know what the Bible says? He's given to us all a measure of faith. And really, faith is actually a sanctified imagination. So tonight I'm going to talk about our sanctified imagination. Now, Hebrews 11:1, what does it say? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that takes an imagination. To see something you're hoping for. Now, kids, Christmas isn't very far away. And there's some things that even as adults we may hope for. And we can even have it in our imagination. Some people call it our mind's eye. Our mind's eye. But you know, we can have a sanctified imagination and we can have an evil imagination. Because, you know, there's good faith and then there's negative faith. They're both very strong and they are very much alive in our life, whether we are children or we are adults. For example, first of all, our mind thinks it, like Hebrews 11:1 says. Our mind thinks it, and we actually see the end product. You know, we see the results, the thing hoped for. And then our heart allows us to figure out how to get it. It's kind of like our instruction booklet. That our heart kind of does that 1, 2, 3 step thing, you know, figuring out how to get it. And then our will chooses if we're going to read the instruction book and follow it and actually go for it. So it's our mind, will, and emotion. It's our faith. Whether for a positive or a negative way. Our imagination first sees it. Then our heart figures out how to get it. And then our will decides if it's really something we want or not. If we're going to go for it. Now, if you didn't have an imagination, maybe we would be more like an animal. I don't know if animals have imaginations or not, but for some reason, I don't think they do. They could. But an animal, they kind of just do everything by rote. They do whatever comes next to survive. Or they do whatever you've taught them to do. Right? So, I don't know. But in a little doggy mind, he may wake up in the morning and think, now I'm really going to try to be good today. Yesterday, I barked at 50 people at my gate. Today, I am only going to bark at the really mean dudes. Yeah. No old ladies today. No little kids today. No. I'm just going to be so good. But you know what? Unless you teach a dog different, he's going to bark at everybody. Until he gets too old to bark or too lazy. Right? Now, we are not God's doggies. We are his children. If I read my Bible right, we are his children. And I don't know, but there are some mornings I wake up and God, please help me today. You know, let me say the right things. And in my imagination, I can see myself saying the right things all day long. Or maybe I'm saying, God, please help me to be a better wife, help me to be a better mother today. And in my mind, I can see myself being very submissive. You know, I can see myself saying only kind words in my mind. Or I can be praying, God, help me to be a friendly neighbor. You know, this neighbor has never spoke to me. He doesn't even lift his head up and look at me. But God, help me, even if he doesn't see me, to wave. Or if you're in Okinawa, to bow, to acknowledge. You know, in my mind's eye, before I ever leave the house, I can see myself doing that. Now, I don't think a dog can do that. But I believe as humans, we can use our sanctified imagination to help us by the grace of God. You know, in our imagination, we can see ourselves doing the things that please God. But you know, before we even act, the thought has to be conceived. You know, the Bible says, faith as the grain of a mustard seed. And we always think of the seed, or we think of the tree, but think of it as a conception point, a point of birth. And you know, our sanctified imaginations can be a point of birth. God can birth in us, in our sanctified minds, how he wants us to be. That can come from God. Now, to be a better wife and to be a better person, that can come from the human spirit. But God can birth things in our imagination, our sanctified imagination, through faith, that we can see ourselves becoming what he wants us to be. Now, sometimes in our process of maturing, we lose that childlike awe. You know? I don't think Sister Marsh has lost all that. Something about her, she still has an awe for things. You know? It's refreshing to be around her. Because, you know, she looks at things in a different way. She sees detail, you know, and it's exciting to her. And I think that's a wonderful quality. Don't lose that, Sister Marsh. But sometimes we get so mature that we lose that. For example, if you're walking with your child, and I miss that, having that little hand in my big hand, but when you're walking with a child and you see that butterfly flitting, and floating and gliding, you know? And we go, oh, look at the anatomy of that butterfly. That is so beautiful. That's awesome. And yeah, that's true. But a child that you're walking with, they'll go, ooh, mommy, look, look, isn't that cool? And in their mind's eye, in their imagination, they see themselves as that butterfly. Flitting and floating and showing off and, you know, doing all that. In their mind's eye, they become the butterfly. Wouldn't it be fun to be like that when God shows up in our life like he did today, tonight, and he flits and floats? If we would just say, oh, Lord, let me go with you. Yes, I want that awesome awesomeness, and we don't say, oh, wasn't that awesome? That was a wonderful spirit. Yes. Hallelujah. But no, we say, oh, God, let me soar with you. Let me go where you're going. Let me feel what you're feeling. Yeah, let me have all that color. When God shows up in our life and shows off in our life, let's not just sit back and say, what an awesome God we serve. It's true, but let's get, you know, let that sanctified imagination work and say, I want to go where God's going. I want to do what he's doing. I want to feel what he's feeling. I remember when Larissa was, she was about probably three, when Walt Disney put out Ariel, the Little Mermaid video. We had that, and I remember looking out the kitchen window one day, and here was Larissa in the palmaria tree. That was that little tree, you know, that I showed you in the flower shop. And that its branches were pretty low because she was only three. So she could get up in that palmaria tree. And I saw her sitting up in the crook of that tree. And she was out there and she was going, you know. And she was, except Ariel, she has good pipes. But she was just singing. And then I heard she comes in the house and she No, actually, it was the neighbors. Mary and Matt came over, and they had both had really, really good imaginations. And they used to play all kinds of imaginary things. And Larissa says when they walked in the yard, "Just call me Ariel." You know, in her mind, she could sing like Ariel. And then not too long after that, we'd gone to the beach at the time we were living in Hawaii. And her daddy could swim, but her mama can't. So her and her daddy were out swimming, and of course her hair was, you know, floating behind. And I heard her say to her daddy, "Daddy, Daddy, just call me Ariel." In her mind, because she could sing and because she could swim, she was Ariel. If we could get that, you know, in our sanctified imagination, if we could feel the presence of the God to the point where, "God, just call me your child. You know, just, I have inhabited so much of God. You know, just, yes." Wouldn't that be powerful? I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I want to have that. I want to have what He's got. And if we allow that sanctified imagination, it talks about the kingdom of God within us. Do you know what a kingdom is? That's a pretty vast area. Powerful, mighty, rich, wealthy. And Jesus Christ says the kingdom of God is in us. We have something pretty powerful in us. We have something pretty awesome in us. And you know what? God has given us all a measure of faith. He's given us all a sanctified imagination. But it's up to us what we see. And if we'll get in tune with Him, we'll see what He sees. Because He sees the end from the beginning. You know? When He created us, He already saw what we would look like. He already saw what everything was going to be like before He even spoke it into existence. So He sees the end from the beginning. So I want to see what He sees. Because He's got it all figured out. And if I can get in tune with Him, maybe He'll give me some of that too. I can have some of that figured out too. And I'm not doing the hit and miss thing all the time. I could get a little direction from Him, I wouldn't, you know, I'd know where the door was. I wouldn't be walking into the wall. Be a little more comfortable, wouldn't it? I think so. But God can give us direction. I think He can give us all creative faith. Did you ever notice that in the morning, when you really get in tune with God, now, morning is when I like my devotion, but when I really get in there where He's at, what He gives me in the morning, He usually gives me opportunity to give it to someone else that day. Did you ever notice that? When He speaks into your life, it's usually, first of all, for you, or it's usually for me, I'm speaking for myself. But also during that day, He will give me opportunity to give that encouragement to someone else. So if I'll hear from Him, I'll have something not also for myself. I'll have food, not only for me, but I'll have enough to share. I'll have enough to give. So in that morning devotion, don't just go through the chapters. I got to get through this. Let's see, what was it in that bread booklet? Four chapters here, and was that two chapters over here? Okay, here we go. Right? And we're in such a hurry. Oh, we're doing this Bible study, and I got to get through this lesson. I got, let's see, lesson 10. Yes, I need October 26th. I need to be finished with this lesson. And we're in such a hurry that if God breaks into our little devotion, we kind of look like, that's kind of rude. You know? You interrupting me when I'm trying to get this done? And He's wanting to share something with us that might happen to us today. And we'll have the answer for it. Or we'll have the answer to help someone else. And you know, I want to become as a child. They find time. They're always getting interrupted. You know, they go from one thing to the next. In fact, my daughter, she was really, really bad at this. Her mind would just go everywhere. And she would have a book here, and she, of course, you know, something else caught her attention, and she would have something else over here, and then something else caught her attention, and she would have something else. And she was in too big of a hurry to clean up behind herself. So one year, she went to Grandma's house, and Grandma said, "Deb, I'll take care of it. You know, I know how to do this. Grandma didn't know how to do it. She sent her back home, and Larissa was still Larissa. Her mind just would go from one thing to the next. Wouldn't that be awesome if God could get us in that frame of mind, that we didn't just stay in our little rut? That we just didn't stay in this, you know, position that we're always comfortable with. You know, this is the way I always do it. And He could intercept. And we would listen. And we would obey. I want to be like that. You know, Jesus interrupts me. You know. Let me be in the place where I'm willing to do whatever He interrupts and tells me to do. It's one thing to be interrupted, but it's another thing to do it. To listen and obey and be willing to do what He wants us to do. It doesn't take hours to get in there. You know, when you put your GPS, at least ours is, into the cigarette lighter, that's how we get our power source. It doesn't take long for that little screen to come up. Now, if we really want to stay in tune with Him, it doesn't take long for Him to send the message down, you know, to give us some special direction. I want to be there. I want to be there. I know you do too. And in our sanctified imagination, God can help us. You know, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you have your room prepared, if you have your lesson studied, and you see those kids coming in, and your heart has reached out to them, and you prayed for them, and when you teach your lesson, they feel the presence of God in their heart, and they respond to it. You know, they can receive the Holy Ghost. Raise their hands in their classroom. You know, that can go on in your sanctified imagination before you ever walk into the classroom. We have to see it as God sees it. That's what He wants to do. If you're a greeter, you need to see yourself as that balm. You need to see yourself as that refuge that makes eye contact with someone. You're caring for them. They know you care. Even before you come to church, you need to see yourself as that. In your mind's eye, in your sanctified imagination, see yourself as being that hand of Jesus when they walk through the door. If you're the usher, I know this means probably the usher's here, but the usher can even, in his mind's eye, in his sanctified imagination, can be saying, bless these people, Lord. Make their finances grow as they give their tithes and their offerings. See them blessed. See the church, all the needs met in the church, in the sanctified. That's before you even come to church. You know? That's already in your mind. That's already in your spirit. So when you come, you're ready. You're in tune. You're plugged in. Your GPS is there. You're on target. If you're leading praise and worship, if you're part of the ministry team, and you're praying for your pastor and his wife, you see your pastor up there, anointed as he speaks, and the word is breaking the yoke, the bondage is being dropped off. Because in your spiritual imagination, you've seen it before you even came to church. If we could do that, realize how powerful church would be before we even walk in the door? Because our mind, our sanctified imagination, is already seeing what God is trying to do. And so we don't come to church just saying, oh, I wonder what will happen tonight. Because in our sanctified imagination, it's already happened. And we're ready. We've come to see it happen. God, help us. Let our sanctified imagination, let our faith, the mind of Christ, be in us. So that when we come, whoa, it's already fallen. We're just coming in, kind of like we're getting the backlash. The eye of the tornado or the eye of the typhoon's already been in. Praise God. Praise God. And even if you're in maintenance or cleaning, you know, see the sanctuary as a refuge. I'm making this house so that those that come in, they're going to feel the presence of God. It's all together. Everything's in order. But you know, sometimes we don't exercise our faith. You know, the Bible talks about exercising our faith. What happens when you exercise something? I don't do enough of it. Really, we shouldn't be preaching this one. But what happens? You know, something grows. Something grows. Or it limbers up. Or it, you know, operates a little bit better. But if you don't have the mind of Christ, if you don't exercise your faith, well, let me just give you a personal example. When I was younger, my favorite thing to do was sew. I love to sew. Now, I love to sew more than I love to eat. And I love to sew more than I love to talk. And I love to sew more than I love to shop. And I loved to sew more than I love to sleep. And I love to sew more than I love to read my Bible. And I loved to sew more than I loved to pray. Now, I didn't say that I didn't shop and I didn't eat and I didn't sleep and I didn't read my Bible and I didn't pray. I said, I like to sew more than I like to do those things. And sometimes when I was doing those things, I was thinking about sewing. Now, if you think about things all the time and you do them all the time, what happens? Well, you get better at it. If you do something a lot, you get pretty good. And I have to admit, I was pretty good. I could sew pretty good. But you know, one time my husband said to me, this was when we evangelized, years ago, like 30 years ago. He said, now Deb, that's what he called me. Deb, when you get to heaven, and I knew what he was really saying was, if you get to heaven, he was saying, when you get to heaven, God's going to say to you, now, Deborah, I told you to sow, S-O-W, not sow, S-E-W. So, I was supposed to be sowing the seed, not sowing the material. But in my mind's eye, when I was doing this really good, when I was doing this a lot, I could look, I could go to a pattern catalog. You know, in my mind's eye, in my imagination, it didn't take a whole lot to see a pattern, and I could readjust it and I could change it. And, you know, I knew what fabric would look good, and I, you know, in my mind's eye. But you know, I don't sew very much anymore. It's, you know, I just don't do it anymore. Kind of the things are more important. Thank God I matured. So, you know, when I sew now, it doesn't turn out as good. I'm usually not real happy or satisfied with how it turned out because I don't do it as much, you know? I don't think about it that much. I don't imagine it. I don't, you know? So, I'm not as good. And it's the same way with our faith and our sanctified imagination. If we don't use it, then it kind of it doesn't look as good. It doesn't operate as well. So we really need to work on using what God has given us. Keep His mind active in us so that we can do what He does and think how He thinks. Now, you may say, oh, but I don't have a good imagination. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. I'll tell you what. Let me see if I can guess how you might think once in a while. Once in a while. Let's say you've gone to the doctor and you had a little something wrong and the doctor did some tests and he came back out and he said, you know, it doesn't look really good. There's some areas that we need to go back in and check a little bit more and we need to see, you know, I just need to take a little better look at this. So I'd like you to come back in a week. You know, it's an area that just really, you know, not real sure about. I'll tell you what, if you don't have an imagination, by the time you walk out of that doctor's office, in your mind's eye, you got all kinds of things wrong with you. And by the time you get to the car and you put your keys in the car and you sit down and you head home, you see yourself in the hospital bed. You see yourself watching your family cry at the funeral. You see the church people say, oh, we miss Sister So-and-so so much. And by the time you pull up to your house, am I telling the truth? Your husband, somebody else has taken care of your kids, and your husband's remarried. You have an imagination. Now, was it sanctified? Probably not. Probably not. But God has put that measure of faith in us. He's put that in us. And we get to choose how we use it. That's our choice, you know, whether it's sanctified or not. But instead of seeing yourself at the funeral, in Philippians 4:8 it says, whatever things are good, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, think on these things. If you want your imagination to work well, you need to think on the things of God. The good things. The good things. And with our sanctified imagination, instead of going to our own funeral, we can see ourselves as the man at the gate, beautiful, leaping and jumping and praising the Lord and running to church and testifying the good things of the Lord and how you've been healed and how God has blessed you and how you're going to be able to see your grandchildren grow up. And hallelujah, with a sanctified imagination, things are altogether different. So imagination simply means conception. And basically, that's what faith is too. God has given us the ability to conceive His mind, His thought, plant it in us. And the Bible says it can bring forth much fruit. Now, I guess a mustard tree has a tiny seed, but it does bring forth a lot of mustard seeds, from what I understand. And I'm winding down here. But if you have the faith, God says we are whole and complete in Him. It's finished. He's already written the instruction booklet. He sees it already finished, and now it's up to us whether we want to read the booklet and follow the instructions. Now, I know that when God does something, He does something well. And when I was a kid, I used to like to put together model cars, believe it or not. I liked all that little detail thing. Now, mine didn't always look like the picture on the box, because my folks didn't buy me that expensive paint, you know, to make it all shiny and red like the one on the box. But you know, God already has the finished product. It's already finished in His mind's eye. And He's given us the booklet and all the pieces to put it together. But it's up to us if we want to pull out the booklet, follow the instructions, get the mind of Christ. You know, our end product will be nice. He's first class. He does all things well. Why not, ladies? Why not? You know? What an awesome opportunity He has given us to let that sanctified imagination. We wake up in the morning. I just want to challenge you tomorrow morning. Put it to work. You know? Don't just read to be reading, to get finished. Say, God, what are You going to say to me today? I want Your mind today. I want Your thoughts today. Because they won't be just for you. They may be to help someone else too. To be a blessing to someone else. So whatever the seed is, whatever it is, let it be the good seed. You know, I was thinking as I was going through this, you know, we sing that song, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. You know, sometimes we go, fear, 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 just a little bit of fear. I don't need a whole lot. I can sabotage myself. Yeah. Fear, fear, fear. Yeah. And it's the opposite of faith. I mean, it takes just as much energy, or probably more, to get it. Let's stand. I feel the spirit of faith, the revival of faith, that comes to our hearts and our minds just because we let this mind be in Christ. We let our imaginations be sanctified. AJ, you can have a sanctified imagination. Yeah, you can. You've got a good imagination. I heard you talk. And it can be sanctified. You know, God gave you that good head for a reason. Right. God gave us abilities and talents, and sometimes we don't use them. We let them, you know, we don't let that butterfly experience happen to us. We just, well, cool. And we could be soaring with God. We could be where God is. We could be seeing what He sees. We could be doing what He's doing. But instead, we're down here moaning and groaning about how hard it is, how difficult it is. When He's wanting us to soar and see what He sees. Yeah, there's times we have to land, we have to eat, but there are times He wants us out. You know, where it is. Let's just come together, ladies. We're going to pray for each other tonight. Some of you have good imaginations in the kitchen. You're good cooks. You know? And you can see you know how to add a little this and a little that and a little this and a little that. Some of you have good imaginations. You're good gardeners. Yeah? You can see that plant. How it's going to be. We were out today and we saw some little men doing some bonsai. Ah. Yeah? Yeah? Very nice. Very nice. You know? They were training them in their mind's eye. They could see that branch going this way, or this way, or this way. You know, like an artist. And God can see us. And He knows how we best will fit into the ministry that He has for us. And we all have a ministry. You know? We all have a place in His kingdom.